Bé, ara donarem pas a la Mareike Van Staden. No sé si ens sent. Puc parlar-li? Mareike?
Yes, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Sorry for the delay. We started a little bit late and we had a very interesting conference, so we had some questions. Us presento la Mareike Van Staden. Ella és la coordinadora de l'equip d'aire i clima de l'ICLEI, que és aquest organisme d'ens locals internacional que vam parlar ahir. L'ICLEI és una institució que a la vegada és com un lobby a nivell mundial i a nivell europeu d'ens locals que es creuen doncs, el que és el fer projectes de desenvolupament sostenible, fer-los en xarxa, intentar ser innovadors. I la Mareike doncs, porta dirigint el que són el programa d'aire i clima des de fa una bona colla d'anys. I bueno, li hem demanat que ens faci una presentació intentant aprendre a ser una mica més coherents doncs, directament des d'Alemanya, a través d'una videoconferència, sobre què és l'ICLEI i sobre el rol que tenen els ens locals en la lluita contra el canvi climàtic a nivell mundial. I el que passa és que serà en anglès, val? No ens podíem permetre un servei de traducció i bueno, esperem que qui l'entengui doncs, la pugui gaudir i si hi ha algú que no l'entén, doncs ho lamentem molt, però són els recursos que tenim. No sé si l'heu vist ja. Ok, Mareike, the floor is yours. Whenever you need me to pass the slide, you tell me.
Okay, super, thank you very much. Well, thank you very much for inviting me to speak at this conference. I apologize for not being there in real life, but I guess thanks to the technical support stuff, this would work very well. Also, I apologize for not speaking Spanish. I think hola is the only thing I really can say in Spanish. So I will try to speak clear and slowly. So thank you very much for the kind invitation and introduction. I lead the climate and air quality work at our European Secretariat, and my name is Mareike Van Staden. I'm a South African, but living in Germany and working across the whole of Europe and the Middle East, as well as the former Russian states. Next slide, please. I very briefly will introduce the organization I work for, first at the international level and then at the European level, which I think is more relevant to the work that you are busy doing. And I will share with you how we deal with sustainability at the local level, how we try to build leadership and the type of support that we offer. And last but not least, how we link to from the local level into the global processes. Next slide. So ICLEI, the organization is called ICLEI Local Governments for Sustainability. Now, we focus on local governments, which means municipalities, city councils, county councils, and we call them local governments because this is a formal level of government that is representative of the community it represents. And we deal with sustainability, which I think is a word everybody uses today, but what does it really mean? Now, for us, it means to strive to reduce the per capita use of natural resources, because we are in a system where resources are limited and we are in a climate change crisis situation. We also have impacts in the economic and financial crisis. So we all in all need to rethink the way we use our resources and minimize the demand as far as we can. Our aim is to not endanger local or global ecosystems, and to make sure that for the future of our children and grandchildren, that what we do today does not impact negatively on them tomorrow. And this links to the political, economic, and social systems. Our aim is to guarantee a high quality of life for everyone. And I believe when I listened to the previous speaker, he's very nicely explained the context we are in. We are really in a crisis at different various levels and in various fields. And that also means we have to redefine the quality of life as we know it today. And this is part of the process that you are also in at the moment. Next slide, please. So as an organization, we're an international network. And as I said, I work for the European Secretariat, which connects to the international network. We were already established in 1990 in New York by cities. We had about 200 cities that came together and said, we want an international organization that works with us on environmental issues. Now, we changed from the environmental focus to sustainability, because that is, I think, something that we recognized early on. We need to look at broader issues than just the environment. At the moment, we have more than 1,200 members. Now, these include very large cities like New Delhi, New York, Johannesburg, Cape Town, all over the world. And in Europe, we also have many cities that are members, but more smaller communities, because Europe does not have mega cities, except for London and Berlin and a few others. So we work with a mix of small and large communities, as well as with their associations that represent them. And we represent many millions of citizens, of inhabitants in these cities. Mostly we work through campaigns, initiatives and projects, and I will come back to that point a little bit later. We also deal with global climate advocacy, and our focus is very much on representing the local level at the international level, and also at the local level to support and provide guidance how to improve quality, looking at standards, giving practical support, and working closer with local governments in their communities and with their partners, with their energy agencies or their local Agenda 21 groups. Our motto is local action moves the world, and that's something we strongly believe in. The next slide, please. Now, there are many networks of local governments. Around the world, not so many, but in Europe, there are quite a few. And ICLEI is the only network that deals with sustainability as a topic and that operates worldwide. We closely link to several of the other networks, and where we can together, we do advocacy with them or for them at the United Nations. I give you a few examples. Sustainable development is obviously one of our core topics, and this also brings the North and the South together where we deal with it at the United Nations level. One of the elements that is probably today one of the most interesting and dynamic areas to work in is climate change, and that is the topic I deal with, where we work on climate change mitigation as well as adaptation. And at the United Nations, we deal with the Framework Convention on Climate Change, where we formally represent all local governments around the world, also the city or town you are living in. And last but not least, environmental issues are very important, so we work with UNEP on a range of topics and programs. Now, what we do at the United Nations level, we're looking for recognition for the role of municipalities, and we want to support the local action in a range of topics that they deal with, which can be anything from energy to water to sustainable procurement to climate change issues, mitigation and adaptation, and anything that actually is in the mandate of the local government. Now, the successes we have achieved, and also I will come a little bit zoom in on some of the climate work we've done, but we have in Cancun in December last year, we achieved success in the climate field by getting recognition for local governments as formal governmental stakeholders in the climate negotiations. Now, this is unique because formerly local governments, municipalities, were actually seen as observers and as NGOs, strangely enough. So we've changed that, and we hope to see more movement in December at the COP17 in Durban, where we think the topic will be financing. We hope to get some solid and substantial movement. We've also been very successful on the topic of local Agenda 21. I'm not sure if any of my colleagues who have been speaking before me addressed this topic, but this is a very important topic, and it will again feature at the Rio Plus 20 conference, which comes up next year. And I believe Sergi is also going to be involved with us on that topic at the Rio conference. So these are examples of where we work and how we work at the global level. But let's move back to the local level, because that is what I represent. Next slide, please. If you look at the map here, you would see where we have ICLEI offices around the world as regional offices or as country offices. Now, some of them are very big. I think our North American office, the US office, is the biggest at the moment in terms of membership. And we are also very much growing in Europe and in South Asia. We have about 150 staff members around the world. Now, these are people with training in many different fields addressing or that are relevant to local climate action. So I am an international politician, if you will. Some of my colleagues are engineers or geographers. And we really bring together a multidisciplinary group of people to work with the local governments. Our offices, sometimes we also establish project offices, which deal with a particular project if the funding agency requires this, and then it closes again after a while. But the offices you see on this map at the moment are the offices that are in place and will hopefully remain so for the coming future. If you look at Latin America, this office will play a very important role in the next year because of the Rio Plus conference, and we will also be holding our world conference just linked to that Rio Plus conference in Brazil. So you're warmly invited to join us there. Next slide, please. So what do we do with our members? We're a membership organization, large and small cities, and we look at different levels or different themes that are linked to sustainability. The integrated sustainability policy is something that we very much promote, because if you do not think integrated, interdepartmental cooperation, a holistic concept, you will probably not achieve success in improving sustainability policies. Secondly, you need to become a resource-efficient city. Optimize what you're using in terms of resources, reducing demand as far as you can, and just being very clever with your strategies. Third goal, we're looking at biodiversity. Every city, even if it's an urban area, has biodiversity in and around it, and one has to secure the ecosystems and make life and quality of life for the citizens nice. And they like to see green spaces, they like to go into parks and areas where they can relax, and one wants to protect the fauna and flora in these areas. The fourth goal, I believe, is very strongly is one of the most prominent at the moment, and that is also the area I'm working on, is low carbon and climate neutral cities. Now, we have many of our members have set targets for themselves, and that is something we also encourage, to say you set a target, and in Europe, the typical classical target for local governments is to go beyond the 20% greenhouse gas reduction by 2020. Now, many of our cities have set more ambitious targets. For example, Copenhagen wants to become carbon neutral by 2025, which is a fantastic thing. And that is also something we share with others, and we want to learn how do they actually want to get there. The fifth goal is very much linked to climate change, is how to become a resilient community, to reduce any impacts of climate change, which we are already seeing, and to optimize and protect your citizens, optimize your infrastructure, and making sure you can just you have a buffer against this changing climate and other things that impact on you. If your community, for example, is in an earthquake area, you need to look at resilience from a different perspective as well. The sixth goal is green infrastructure. That's the expensive part. You need to put in a lot of money to improve infrastructure. This would be transport, waste and sewage disposal, water infrastructure. For transport, big public schemes for public transport options, very important area, and in the times of economic crisis, a very difficult and challenging area to find funding for large projects. That is also something we try to help in the European context. We support cities to access LNR funding, for example. The seventh goal, green urban economy and jobs. Again, an important theme if you're looking at quality of life. You want to improve and make sure people keep their jobs and that they are happy in their positions and that your urban economy ticks over. And even if it doesn't grow, at least it should not stagnate and it should be dynamic. The eighth goal, having a healthy and happy community. It sounds naive perhaps, but that is what we strive for if we're looking at quality of life. So as a membership organization, these eight goals is what we're pursuing with and supporting our member cities and towns with this. Next slide, please. So in Europe, we are active at the global level, and Europe clearly connects to the international level as well. But our office, which is based in the beautiful city of Freiburg, deals with the whole of the EU27, as well as the rest of Europe, like Switzerland, like Iceland, as well as the newly independent states, so the former Russian states, and the Middle East. So we have we cover about 40, 45 countries, and we have a staff of about 45 people. So we're all overworked, but it's a fascinating area to work in because Europe is leading on many topics. We have about 200 members in 35 countries and represent 70 million inhabitants. Many of our members play an interesting role. They are leaders in their countries quite often. We have capital cities, but also the smaller communities can play a leading role. And that is exactly what we want to engender in them. We want to stimulate them to be leaders and to bring other communities into this transitional phase of improving their sustainability. We also have as members regions and provinces and counties, so we're not just looking at the municipality or city council level. Next slide, please. Now, when we look at how do we translate sustainability into practice, this is a very challenging field. But again, with our multidisciplinary teams, we bring together a lot of people, a lot of different knowledge and know-how, and try to pull that into our campaigns and projects that we work on. If we look at the topic common goods, this means air quality, biodiversity, water resources, climate protection. These are international, global common goods. We all need this purely to survive. And we have started campaigns. One of our oldest campaigns is the Cities for Climate Protection campaign, which we also have in Europe. And this brings together cities and towns and provinces and counties that want to engage in climate protection. And in Europe, it actively also links to and supports the Covenant of Mayors, which I will describe a little bit later. We also have a water campaign as an international campaign. We started the Renewables Initiative. The gentleman who spoke before me very much mentioned peak oil, and we are indeed at the peak oil level where we're not finding enough oil to replace what we are busy using. So we have to switch to renewable energy. And the luck is that we have renewable energy available. We have hydropower, we have solar energy, we have geothermal systems that we can put into place. And all of that, the message from ICLEI's side is use local energy, produce local energy, and export if you have excess energy. And in that way, you provide energy security for your community, and you benefit from local jobs, local maintenance, local systems. Coming back to climate change, we've set up a system in place for mayors and political leaders. They have very strongly felt that they would like to share with one another at the political level and motivate other leaders, mayors and deputy mayors, to join the World Mayors Council on Climate Change. This is an important activity, and if we put it next to the Cities for Climate Protection campaign, which is very much a practical campaign to support cities, the World Mayors Council is a political body that also puts pressure on national governments, and at the United Nations, it is also active. And our last campaign on this topic of common goods is local action on biodiversity, which is at the moment being led also by our Africa office, where biodiversity is a very important topic. In Africa, we do suffer from a lot of biodiversity loss. same in Europe, and we encourage local governments to connect to these campaigns, to these networks, and learn and share and benefit from the interaction with their peers. Next slide, please. Now, obviously, we cannot work without people. People like you, like me, we need to engage in more sustainable practices. And quite often, people do not know where to start or how to deal with things. And in this sense, we address processes in the political system, in the municipality. We have, for example, an integrated management and governance process that we promote. How to improve your systems, how to improve cooperation in the municipality between departments and linking to an urban sustainability plan. The Local Agenda 21 campaign was already started in 1992, so you see how long we've been in action and we've learned a lot on these different topics, and I believe we have a lot to share, most of it which is also on our website. An important campaign for European cities and towns is the Sustainable Cities and Towns campaign, where cities that have signed up to the Aalborg Charter and the Aalborg commitments come together at regular conferences. I think the next one is also next year, and share and learn from one another. And this is the biggest movement in Europe on sustainability. We also have a sustainability management program and a practical eco-budget system that we propose to cities so that they can actually do accounting on environmental issues and not purely on financial issues. Last but not least, resilient cities. To be a resilient city, you have to bring your stakeholders together and work with them in many different working groups and get good ideas and try and implement these. And our Resilient Cities program has an annual conference in Bonn every year. I believe it's in June or July. And again, a nice place to meet people who are working on this topic and getting practical advice. Next slide, please. Now, without money, you cannot do anything. So our proposal here on the topic of money is how to buy services and goods in a sustainable, efficient, and cost-effective manner. As a municipality leader, you have to prove that your budget is well spent. How smart is your planning and how smart is your procurement? These are the questions that you have to defend in the city council and towards your citizens. And we give a range of sustainable procurement advice. Our Procura Plus campaign, as well as the Eco Procura conferences, are regular events again where we bring together people. And this is a very difficult topic quite often, how to change your tender procedures, how to improve interdepartmental buying of sustainable resources like paper or computers or anything that has a huge energy intensity and you want to improve energy efficient goods and products and use these in your council to also show that you are switching in a sustainable to a sustainable way of working. Next slide, please. Now we do, a lot of the work we do is linking people. So our 1,200 members, most of whom are pioneers and champions, meet at these world conferences like the one in Brazil. We also have our regular events in Brussels for our Brussels cities and towns, like the one we had this week. And these events are fascinating because you can hear the latest developments and get inspiration. We mostly work with local governments, but we also work with other levels of government because there's clearly an interconnection between the three levels that we see, the national or federal level, the subnational level, and the local level. And we encourage working in partnership with the national governments because without a partnership, you cannot optimize your systems. Now, a lot is happening also in the research and development field. There is fascinating new technologies coming, and we try to bring the messages of that to our members. In the field of energy, how do you plan for your energy planning for the next 10 years if you don't know what technologies are available? So these are some examples of where we connect people to people in different sectors and different areas. And of course, the local to global angle. ICLEI represents very much the local level to the United Nations in various fields. And last but not least, in that topic, we also connect to key initiatives like the European Sustainable Cities and Towns campaign and the Covenant of Mayors, which is really one of the key movements in Europe at the moment to support cities with setting climate targets and moving forward with sustainable energy solutions. Now, we inform. We're a very practical organization. We offer web-based guidance. At the moment, I'm busy developing, together with my colleagues, a training program for municipalities with one stream for the decision makers, the local decision makers, who need to know how to take decisions and based on what to take decisions when you engage in climate and energy issues. And on the other hand, we want to support and train municipal technical staff. They have different requirements. They need to know what tools are available and how to improve their processes. So this is the type of practical advice we share. Also, there are fantastic good practice examples out there. And this is what we share through information and through case studies online. And then practical tools. The one you see in front of you in the circle is a new toolbox we created online to capture and collect resources relevant to climate and energy, including methodologies that are interesting and that work very well for cities and towns and provinces. Next slide, please. Now, further, we build leadership in sustainability by involving. It's not a passive experience. In fact, one has to be very active and engaged, and ideally many different departments need to engage and work in the municipality, work together and explore how to work together. This is something we like to do with them, to explore how to improve the processes in the municipal sector. We very much work through projects. This is the one way of finding funding and working across many different European countries, because we have fantastic ideas to share across borders. And mostly we then work with local governments, quite often linking to research projects like the Seventh Framework or the Concerto program. And we pilot innovative actions. Anything that we think is new and fascinating, we would share and test and see if it works. And if it works, we can roll it out and it can become mainstream, such as is now happening with renewable energy. We guide, we offer support and training on many, many different topics in the climate context. It's anyway, starting from the target setting, how to set a target, what do we base that on, to monitoring greenhouse gas emissions reductions, for example. And again, we try to support and promote integrated approaches. Next slide, please. At the global level, we advocate. Mostly we bring delegations of local governments who can help us and support and make the message to the national governments or towards the United Nations. We also share and give opinions on European Union policies, because even though it is at the European level, it directly often impacts on the local government level. We have found that, I think it was about 50% of the regulations set at the European level directly impact on local communities. So we need to also send their voices and their opinions up through the system so that the European Commission does not generate regulations and directives that actually are not easy to implement at the local level. We organize conferences, so we meet with people around the world and in Europe and deal with sustainability in its broader sense, or we focus on particular themes such as water or sustainable procurement. Next slide, please. Now, maybe that's a recap of what we do, but we do offer practical support. And our focus is on urban sustainability, which means our main target group that we work with are the local level and the subnational level. The subnational level is interesting because it is, let's call it in Italy it would be regions and provinces. They can bring together a cluster of small communities who may not be able on their own to join a project or to engage in activities. So the subnational level is very interesting to do things in a particular language, on a particular topic, and with our expertise, we can guide and shape and help to improve processes. Every topic we work on, we focus on integrated management, which means improving systems and processes, creating interlinkages. Quite often your financial department, which is a very important department in the city, does not connect to the thematic departments like the energy department or the building department, except to say budget approved or not approved. And if they have a better understanding of the topics, quite often the system improves and it is easier to work with colleagues who know why they are doing things. Also, you have the local agenda 21 people who also need to know on the thematic side how to connect and understand why things are being done so that they can explain it to the citizens in a clear and useful way. Now, we've learned across since 1990, we've learned that cities like to work with cities and towns like to work with towns. You have mayors who like to talk to mayors, and you have the technical people who would like to talk to the technical people. So this peer-to-peer culture is something we strongly support, and we try to bring that in when we organize events, that people can speak to the ones that they want to engage and learn from. Last but not least, the multidisciplinary angle is very important. You cannot purely look at things with small blinkers on and just work in one direction. You have to understand the context you work in. And that is where we try to bring in experts from different topics to share their expertise and to help move forward on urban sustainability. Next slide, please. Now, Europe is unique because we have cities and towns that are mostly small and medium-sized. In the developing world, in Asia, a lot of mega cities are actually busy popping up and they are growing very fast. In Europe, we have more a tendency where communities are either declining in terms of numbers or growing slowly. So that is our target group that we work with. In Europe, we've identified on the climate and energy topic through the project LG Action, we've identified what their needs and challenges are. Very interesting things that have come out there. Unfortunately, it's not available in Spanish, but we do have a French version and an Italian version in case that would help you. And that is on the website for LG Action. Next slide, please. On the climate topic, I lead the Cities for Climate Protection campaign in Europe. And this is an old campaign where we've learned what do local governments need, and we try to give them advice. Now, the cycle image you see at the bottom in blue is our 5-milestone methodology. This has been tested and it works around the globe. Cities are using this process, starting up by setting targets, identifying where they want to go. You need to do assessments of your greenhouse gas emissions so that you can identify a baseline for comparing future emissions reductions. You have to plan your activities, you have to implement your action plan, and you have to monitor. And then you go through the cycle from start to finish, but it never finishes because you just go through it again and again and again until you become climate neutral in the future. Hopefully 2030 or 2040 or 2080, your community can become climate neutral. Now, we represent through our 178 participants in the European campaign, we represent more than 61 million inhabitants. So a lot of our participants are very big communities, but we also have tiny, tiny communities with 3,000 people or less, and they have different needs. In some cases, it's also easier for them to engage because they don't have to do an extensive greenhouse gas inventory. They can do a very focused one because it's a small community. Now, we have developed a very simplistic greenhouse gas inventory toolkit for cities that are starting up, including one that is relevant for Spain. It's not in Spanish, but we do have coefficients for Spain calculating in the background, and I will send that to Sergi so that he can share it with you if you would like to use it. We provide technical supports, services and training, and we also have interesting conferences on the topic, and I warmly invite you to join us at the Local Renewables 2011 conference, which will focus on buildings and districts and renewable energy, and that is in October 27th to 28th, with a two-day study tour for those people from municipalities who are just starting up on this topic, and they are welcome to get in touch with us if they're interested in that. Next slide, please. Now, the way we work, as I said, was to link to other initiatives and activities, and the Covenant of Mayors is really one of those key ones. For municipalities interested in sustainable energy, there's also the Sustainable Energy Europe campaign, which I warmly recommend. It helps to give you very basic advice on how to organize energy days, for example, which is something that where you can reach out to your citizens and make them interested in topics that they maybe never have heard of before. We mostly work through projects, so that is also how we are funded. And a few projects that are also have fantastic, interesting tools and guidance online is LG Action, which was a political political project where we identified the challenges and needs of local governments. The Make It Be project is a bioenergy project, bioenergy partnerships, and we have very nice tools there. Civitas is an interesting platform where you can find out about sustainable mobility. And the Energy for Mayors project, which is also has activities in Spain, deals with practical support on rolling out sustainable energy action plans. I would now very briefly like to share with you the global advocacy processes. So everything we develop in these projects have some messages and some useful information that we can share towards the international level again. Next slide, please. Now, typically, a local government works in these two circles. If you look on the one on the left, the local government operations is where the municipality has direct ownership of the topic. So it could be their own buildings, their own police fleet, their own health buildings. They could be owners, for example, of the public tram system and of public lighting. Now, they also are interested in what is happening in the bigger community. And this is the area where they have less influence. And this is quite challenging quite often. This means also, for example, looking at the transport, a lot of people sit in their cars and block the roads. And in that sense, the local government would like to improve public modalities for public transport and get people out of their cars and into public transport systems. This is an example of sustainable development, and that is something we actively are trying to do in Europe, because transport is one of the areas where we have huge emissions and we need to reduce these very actively. Also to get rid of the dependency on oil, because we cannot burn oil in cars while we actually need that for some other materials and resources. The same goes for electricity and the same goes for buildings. And these are the areas a local government is trying to influence and can do so through various ways. And we train them and we show them the opportunities that they have in that field. Next slide, please. Now I have a few slides just to show you what practical guidance we give to municipalities on greenhouse gas emissions. We have an international protocol which is a very interesting document to read if you want to understand where a local government can influence things. So it defines the boundaries of the community. It defines which greenhouse gas emissions you should be looking at. And it defines scopes and gets into quite technical details of greenhouse gas emissions monitoring. And we are feeding this into international processes as well. We are at the moment busy reviewing it together with the C40, which are the 40 largest cities around the globe, and with the World Bank and the United Nations Environment Programme. So hopefully we will re-release a new emission protocol very soon, and very interesting reading if you're into that particular topic. We also give toolkits on how to do an inventory, practical answers to questions that you might have, frequently asked questions section. We also have, for the more advanced communities, the Smart SPP Toolkit, which is a life cycle costing. So you're actually planning the cost of the actual product or service, as well as its emissions cost over its lifetime. And that helps you to select the optimal product or service that you are interested in. It's a new and complicated tool, but it is also the way we will be moving forward to calculate greenhouse gas emissions in the next 10 years or so. Next slide, please. We also deal particularly on sustainable energy. I believe Dr. Francesco Musco spoke to you yesterday. I edited a book together with him, which has nice, interesting case studies on local small communities that have implemented sustainable energy activities. And I mentioned the Energy for Mayors toolbox of methodologies and resources already. So these are the basic things that we offer. All of it is where we can for free on the website. You just need to take the time to read them. Next slide, please. And very briefly, sustainable procurement is also a very hot topic at the moment. We have found out that very few municipalities are actually using sustainable procurement effectively. So there's a lot of scope for improving that. We have a manual that gives very interesting and practical advice. I believe it is also available in Catalan. And we are involved in many projects and networks, like the Sustainable Construction and Innovation Network, the SCI network, where we at the moment have working groups. And if you would like to join and share and get involved in these discussions, these are the options that we make available to you. Next slide, please. Now, last but not least, I want to link again from the local level. So all this local activity on the many different topics to improve sustainability in the urban context feeds into processes such as the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Now, I am passionate about climate change, and I believe everybody should get engaged in this process in their private life and to encourage their local government to become more active and to do things that benefit the community. Now, if you look at this slide and the graph at the bottom, around 1990, the local activities started, as well as the global activities. And on the top, you will see in red the progress we've made at the local community level, feeding into the global processes. So ICLE and Climate Alliance, for example, started early in the 90s to work on local climate action with their cities, with their towns. At the global level, the UNFCCC was created, and slowly but surely they moved forward. The Kyoto Protocol was defined, although there was a long delay in actually signing up to it and making it active. And the tempo at the local level, in the red, picked up. Cities were getting tired of waiting for national governments to take the lead, and they themselves took the lead. And we had at the COP13 in Bali, a few years ago, the local government climate roadmap started as a process to mobilize more cities and towns around the world. And in Europe, the LG Action Project was linked to the roadmap to be active in Europe. And that in turn feeds into and supports the Covenant of Mayors. In Copenhagen at the COP15, we had hopes that there would be an international climate deal coming out of this event. And we were disappointed. Everybody was very much disappointed that there was no post-2012 agreement on climate. This meant the cities became even more active, tried to show what they were doing to their national governments, to the United Nations agencies. And at the moment, cities and towns are probably the most active and the most successful in the field of climate action, because they can immediately deal with these topics. Set a target, implement actions in many different areas, from waste to transport to buildings. While at the international level, they are talking and discussing and talking a bit more. So we have been very active and showing how successful we can be. Yet we need to become even more successful, even more active. And to formalize the processes, we have established the city's climate registry. So at the top, the R, that is the logo of the registry, which we want to use and invite all cities and towns around the globe to engage and commit to targets and share these in the registry. And the registry in turn will, in the next few years, hopefully connect to the national government greenhouse gas emissions systems and reporting to the United Nations, and also can act as a double check to make sure we're not missing emissions, because this is one of the key areas where we have to act, reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, mitigate as far as we can, and optimize the resources we use. Next slide, please. So that was that from my side, a very brief introduction to the world in which we're active. It's a very interesting area. We need more professionals in the sustainability field. I hope you are there, you are there with us, and that you would like to work with your city or in your city and town and help redefine the quality of life together with your colleagues and your peers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mareike. Do you think we could hold for a second and see if someone would like to put a question?
Sure.
Si algú vol fer alguna pregunta? Sí, sí, ja li puc traduir. The question will be from Antonio Turiel, the prior presentation.
Faig directament en anglès o la faig en català?
Si la vols fer en anglès, el mateix.
Bueno, va, okay. So thanks a lot for your presentation. I think that your initiatives are very interesting and very encouraging. I would like just to, I have two concerns about the things you have been exposing. The first one concerns, you have said about Copenhagen is going to attain a state of carbon neutrality in the next years. And I'm not completely sure, I mean, apart from the fact that accounting all the carbon dioxide emissions is quite difficult, because it's not only the activity taking place in the city, but also if you are consuming products, let's say an iPhone, for example, at China. Yeah. And this, of course, has a carbon footprint that in some sense is being consumed at your city. Mm-hmm. But okay, let's suppose that you have account of all of that. My main concern is that, in fact, if you impose a very tight agenda trying to become carbon neutral, maybe you are expelling outside of your city any activity, a factory, for instance, which is very intensive in carbon dioxide emissions. So this is the first concern. The other thing, you have also talked about the possibility of having green jobs or economical activity in your city. And you have said something like, even if we have not growth, we can still have some economic activity and so on. But as you know, for instance, here in Spain, it's a main problem for all municipalities, the question of debt. And I think that, it's very difficult to service a debt if you have no economical growth. So it seems that in the way that things are working around, we cannot be content, be happy just having economic activity, which is very good, in fact, but we also need grow. And I don't know how can you conceal these two, how do you make these two ends to meet? Because mm-hmm. it's very hard, in fact. Okay, well, I think that's the idea, more or less. So the first question is, which is the effect expelling activity outside of your city, maybe putting in a different city, which is not seen in this agreement. And the other mm-hmm. thing is, how can we service debt, which is an actual matter here, having no economical growth? Thank you.
Okay. All right. I believe in the protocol you will read that we deal with emissions in three scopes. So scope one is the immediate influence of the local government. Scope 2 is more the community emissions, where there is less of an impact or where you can influence things to a lesser extent. And scope 3, which is what you're referring to, you buy a smartphone, it was made in China. Who counts these emissions? How do we calculate them? We do recognize that scope 3 is very difficult to calculate for local governments at this stage. But we have, I mentioned, the Smart SPP toolkit, and that is our first stab at doing life cycle assessments of emissions and costs. This is certainly the way of the future. I believe it's very difficult for most local governments to deal with that at this stage. And we do not recommend it except to the advanced cities. So we have a few cities testing the Smart SPP toolkit, and it will be further developed. But for the ones that are starting up, and this is actually most local governments in Europe, have not established a greenhouse gas inventory for their municipal operations or for their community. So we recommend to them starting up with a basic concept. It's still not easy for them, and that is where they need more guidance, also from us and energy agencies and other organizations. So we also do not tell people or cities which targets they have to set. This is something we encourage them to say, first do your emissions inventory to identify where your problem areas are, and based on that you can set realistic targets. But be ambitious. If you're not ambitious, we will run into the big threat of moving beyond the 2 degrees increase in temperature across the world, which will have huge impacts on cities. Now, we're already in that danger zone. So we encourage ambitious yet realistic target setting by every single local government around the world, in the developed and developing world. Everybody can contribute to mitigation. Now, if we look at the problem of the current economic and financial crisis, and indeed, I know Spain is suffering severely from this, if you look on the other hand to sustainable development, it offers potentials for you to explore. If you switch to local renewables in your community, for example, you generate local jobs. You stimulate the local green economy. It sounds easy, and again, I know it is not, but these are the things that the city council should be looking at, and they should be exploring options with their communities to try and switch to local energy security, affordable energy, reducing emissions, and improving the quality of life with and for their citizens. Now, there is no success recipe for every city. That is what you have to explore with your own community. And again, I know it's not easy, but it's necessary to deal with this.
Thank you very much. Marike, una altra pregunta. One more question.
Right at the back.
Hello, my name is Maria Clara, and I speak in name of Teixidors de Xarxas in English, network.
Threading. Oh, sí.
Well, my English is not very well, and I only want to ask you this. We are working locally in a little town. We also work with cooperation projects in Latin America. Mm-hmm. And in our local town here in Spain, we are starting with an idea that want to improve jobs for the people. We are there around 21 million people, 21,000 people, and we calculate they are around 4,000 people with not job. We know we have this clear. If people don't have one way to live, they can think, they can have a goal. So we are starting with an idea, with a project, with a council, the local council, the Girona University, and the people there, to grow alternatives of local production. Would you have or can explain us one of your experience? This is one of the questions. And the other, if we would like to, you just told us, but we would like to invite you to work with us this project. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that question. I think this is the kind of practical thing that we like to see and like to get involved in. So we would be delighted to link if we can. Now, the one example that comes to mind, and it's not in the developing countries, but it's a city in Austria, the city of Graz, where they've created jobs through a very clever strategy. In the city of Graz, people eat a lot of schnitzel, so they use a lot of cooking oil, and that means a lot of waste. And this waste was a problem. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that in a sustainable way? So, and they also had unemployed people. And they decided to combine the solutions for sustainable energy, sustainable waste management, and job creation. How did they do this? They took the unemployed people and trained them on how to do waste collection and become involved in the waste management processes. These people went around with lorries and collected the cooking oil. And this was fed into a process where they created biodiesel, which in turn was given to the local airport and used in the airport concept, in the buses that they used to transport passengers and in the cleaning vehicles and so on. So they created a sustainable loop in a way, supporting the unemployed people by giving them jobs, getting rid of waste and turning that waste into sustainable energy. I find this a really interesting concept and a clever concept. They call it schnitzel power, by the way. And this is the kind of thing that we need to see at the local level, where you have to explore what is in your community, what are the problems, and look for sustainable solutions. And ideally, solve two problems by engaging in a clever concept. And that, I think, the Graz example illustrates. Now, I'm not sure which community you're engaging in, but certainly there are good practice examples where one can learn and maybe get new ideas. And I would be happy also to help brainstorm to see if we can get some nice, interesting solutions that would help the people there with their local job creation and switching to urban sustainability at the same time.
Thank you very much. Ho deixarem aquí. I now we will go for our coffee. So thank you very much, Maraike, for your speech.
Thank you.
See you very soon.
Okay, I will have coffee on this side too.
Goodbye. Doncs podem passar al cafè. Són un quart i si us sembla fem 20 minuts, ens endarrerem una miqueta, però encara tenim temps fins a l'hora de dinar.